Father, we just thank thee tonight that we have come to know the Lord Jesus, thy lovely Son, from off the very throne of glory, who came and died on a cross in shame, that we might be redeemed, saved, made clean, and made fit for the glory of heaven. We bless thee, our God and Father, for all that thou hast purposed for those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And we ask tonight, Father, as we open thy word, that we might learn something fresh for our souls, that we might learn, Father, something of our responsibilities as those who have been born again of the Spirit of God, as those who have been left in this world to do the very thing the Lord Jesus came to do. He came to show the Father and help us, Father, to understand our responsibilities as thy people. Father, we realize it is so easy to get caught up in the things of this world, to be enveloped by them, and to deny the Lord that bought us. Help us, Father, we pray, to shoulder our responsibilities and to take up the challenge and to move in the power of the Spirit of God in this wicked world in which we live. So, Father, we ask for thy help now in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I have an enormous task to cover this evening, and I have given you sheets so that you might be able to follow later, but it would be better, knowing that you've got the notes, that you follow what is on the screen, because it will be dished up in small portions, enabling you to take in a little at a time. We are dealing with the subject of elders, overseers, and shepherds as taught in the Scriptures. You will understand that these expressions began in the Old Testament Scriptures. We have had elders presented to us down through history. The early mentions of elders would have appeared as older men or older women. But then in the nation of Israel, to help Moses in his lonely work, 70 men were chosen out. 70 older men were chosen out to help to lead the people of God. And they are known as the elders. The problem is that our language does not rightly distinguish between verbs and nouns. And I don't want to give you an English lesson, but I hope you will understand that it is essential for us to understand what the Scripture is saying. And to that end, we will begin. And so I'll move on to the first one. Elders are older ones, and because they're older, as in any family, the older ones care for the younger ones. Out in Dar es Salaam, there are 5-year-olds caring for 2-year-olds. The older care for the young. It is a principle of life. And these illustrations come to us in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, to be able to care, you need a knowledge of the experience with God. An overseer, once again, a different word, a different purpose, a different feature. If God uses different words, he has different things in mind to teach us. And we see that an overseer is one who observes. That's a simplification. He's an observer. He's a watcher. And he is watching in care too. And for his watching services, he needs a knowledge of God's order in the church. Shepherds, the basic word, means to feed. And so the shepherds are those who feed the flock. And therefore he needs, or she needs, a knowledge of the saints' needs. As I've indicated to you, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word that is translated elders is not a noun. It is an adjective. It is describing their condition. It is describing their age group. So they are the older ones. The old English elder, if you want to modernize it, then just, and you will help yourself if you do, it's the olders. The olders. It's not a noun, it's an adjective describing them. Now that is true for every reference in the scripture to elders in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both in the Old and in the New, they're adjectives, not nouns. I will show you that there are nouns, and we will look at them in the scriptures. That's the best way. If you really want to study your Bible, then you need to see what the Bible has to say and throw your commentaries away. Because I can tell you, I've been looking at those commentaries and laughing. They do not regard the grammar of the scriptures. God's word is accurate. Overseers. There is a verb which describes the action of overseeing. There is a noun which is in the feminine which describes the work itself. Interesting that it is in the feminine, because women are really the carers of the home. And then there is the person, the overseer, and that is in the masculine. These are important features which I will just include later on as we go through. Shepherds. Well, the word shepherd in the main is a verb. You'll find it all the way through as a verb. There are some scriptures which indicate the noun, the person, the shepherd. But mainly it's the work. And so there are several words, but they're all from the same root. Now you'll just look there and you'll realize that they all come from the same root for shepherd. They come from all come from the same word for overseer. And there are a lot more for elders as well, which we will see in a moment. Excuse me doing the groundwork, but I must stand on what the scripture is really saying. Right, elders. In the Old Testament, it's an old man or an old woman. In the New Testament, it's an older man, notice, it's an adjective, but it's in the comparative. Now, if you haven't done any English at school, sadly, the comparative of a verb compares to. So, I am younger than my brother John. I am the youngest of my four brothers. When I'm comparing myself with one other, I'm the younger. When I'm comparing myself with all my brothers, I'm the youngest. And this word elder, it is in the comparative. Now that simply is pointing out that what the Word of God is teaching is that there are two groups. There's an older group and there's a younger group. And I've indicated to you on the screen that Paul, he speaks of olders and youngers. Now I'm challenging you because we have those who are growing older. This year you are older than you were last year. You are getting older. And what I trust at the end of this meeting is that you will realize, however young you are getting older. And older you will get, you will never get younger. And you are moving on to old age, even if you're five. You're moving on to old age. And what we are looking at is the kind of work God has got for those who are older, and what they should be doing, and how they should be doing it. And therefore, if I'm 5 years old, I should be listening, because one day, that's if I've trusted Christ as my Saviour, one day I will be older. And it's good to know what I will need by the time I get there. You go to university, but before you get to university, you've got to go through school. So you go to primary school, and you go to junior school, and you go to senior school, and then eventually you get to university. You know, you don't suddenly become equipped in the things of God. You will realize that the very word elder is speaking of maturity, experience. And therefore you and I should be looking for experience. Some of the young people here have been through very hard experiences, very young. But it's an experience with God that equips them for work that they will later do. You'll notice that John, in his epistle, he splits the people of God into three groups: fathers, young men, children. But where we will be looking through at elders, I want you to observe that when you get these expressions, elders, there will be youngers hanging around somewhere. Just remember that. So what the Word of God is doing, it's reminding us, even the younger ones, that soon we're going to be older. You'll understand, in this assembly there were quite a lot of old men. I'm getting lonely. I'm the only one over 70, the only man over 70. There used to be loads of them. It's amazing how quickly the older ones pass on to glory. Have you been caught out? Have you suddenly realized that you've been maturing, and you should have been preparing for the responsibility that has been left behind by older men who once helped to lead the assembly? Olders and youngers. Looking at the overseers, there were overseers in the Old Testament. We'll see in a moment. The first overseer was a priest. Very interesting. The first mention in Scripture is very, very interesting. But you realize that this word overseer, it has the thought of to number. The overseer will sit quietly in the meeting, and he will notice there's somebody missing. You say we shouldn't count numbers. Every shepherd counts his flock. You realize these works tend to overlap. And those who are older should have such a love for those who are younger that they will be looking out for them, and they will notice when they're not here. That's basically the word in the Old Testament for overseer, to number. It also has the idea of to pay attention to attend to observe. And it's not just a distance observation, it's a close observation. Because you're going to look after, and you're going to care. An overseer. In the New Testament, the episkopos, if you want to learn a little bit of Greek, epi means upon, skopos means to look. Well, you've got lots of English words that you get from epi and skopos. You might like to think of them. Well, you actually speak Greek in your everyday language. Episkopos, to look upon, to look over. To be observing. So when we gather as the people of God, there should be those who are observing, because they have a care. They may notice a tear. They may notice you're unwell. They may notice that you're not enjoying the meeting. They're looking over. And of course it has the idea to inspect, to examine with the eyes, to visit. Now if you look in your Bible, you'll find that this word episkopos is translated visitation. And you will remember in your Bible you've come across the idea, the day of visitation. You do realize what that day of visitation is. It's the day when God will be looking over your life. The day of visitation. And he will be aware of every single detail of the work you've been doing. The day of visitation. Shepherds. Interesting, isn't it? The shepherds of the scriptures. Abel was a shepherd. Rachel was a shepherd. Jacob, Joseph, Moses. You can go on through your Bible. And of course, the greatest shepherd was the Lord Jesus. The shepherd, the idea behind the word shepherd is to pasture. To put out to pasture. When you take a flock of sheep into the field, you're not just taking them there to feed, you are taking them there to feed, but you're taking them there for their well-being. They need some sunshine. They need some fresh air. And the idea is to pasture. And it takes in all that is needed for healthy life. That's the work of the shepherd. They're there in the assembly to make sure that you have a healthy spiritual life. I must go quickly because that clock goes. Where do we find these three words all together? I'm sure you already know. Number one, the Apostle Paul has been preaching the gospel at Ephesus. And souls have been saved. He's moved on to other towns. And those souls that have been saved have been developing in spiritual things. But now he is moving on and he calls the older ones of the assembly at Ephesus. And this is what he says. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the older ones of the church. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you, has appointed you overseers. You notice who did the appointing. It is the Holy Spirit. You know, folks have been saying, who are our elders? You'd better ask the Spirit of God. Only he appoints. I wonder if the Spirit of God has appointed you an overseer in the Bracknell Assembly. I wonder if you have a heart for the detail of the scriptures, for the well-being of the people of God. And then he says, shepherd. He's called the older ones. I'm using the word older one not to discredit the word elder, but I just want to get you focused. Because I know we can just imagine that the 90-year-old brother is the elder. He's the eldest, actually. And he doesn't exist. He's called the elders, the older ones. And he's telling them that the Holy Ghost has appointed them to oversee, to do the looking over of their assembly at Ephesus. And he says, the whole, all the flock among which. You can't oversee if you sit in a room with an office desk dishing out orders. You can't oversee. You've got to be among the flock. You won't know the ones who are in need, and you won't know their particular need. You've got to be there among them. And then he says, to these overseers, he's telling them to shepherd or to feed or to pasture. It's the wider word. There is a word which actually says give food to, and it's bosko, to give food to. The Lord Jesus uses that in John chapter 21 when he tells Peter to actually give food to the people of God. But this word is the wider word. Feed and care and enable a healthy life. So the shepherd, the overseer, the older one is supposed to oversee and shepherd. The whole point is, if you're overseeing, and if you've got a caring heart, you won't want the people of God to starve, will you? And that will mean when you get home, instead of sitting watching the telly, you'll have to get your Bible out and prepare some food, some spiritual food, that you may feed the people of God. And it may take you many, many hours. And you may have to sacrifice tremendously in order that you may feed, that you may shepherd, that you may care for the people of God. You can understand why I'm refusing to let you get away with this title elders as a group of people who sit in a back room deciding what colour the curtains will be and what we'll spend our next £1,000 on. That's not feeding the people of God, and neither is it watching over them. There is too much of that, because it has become a title, as it did in the early church. And we'll see that in a minute. Peter, he has something to say. Well, Peter is the one to whom the Lord Jesus has committed feeding and pasturing the lambs and the sheep in John chapter 21. And Peter, he says, the elders, the older ones who are among you, again among you, I exhort, I who am also a fellow elder, the S-U-M in front of the elder simply means together with. I'm a fellow elder, a fellow older brother, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter is giving you really the secret of the desire that arises in your heart. When you begin to understand how much the Lord Jesus has suffered in order that you might be brought into the blessing of eternal life and fellowship with the people of God, those people are precious. You'll understand how much it cost the Lord Jesus. He's a witness of the suffering. He watched him. It was afar off, but he watched him. And he says, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a sharer of the glory that shall be revealed. Not only did the Apostle Peter see the Lord Jesus hanging from the cross, but do you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, as we call it, Peter, James and John gazed at the Lord Jesus as they had a future glimpse of what he would be in glory. His garments were bright and glistering above the noonday sun. Peter, he saw the glory that was coming. You see, if you are going to be faithful as an older one, if you're going to be faithful, and we'll see that there are older sisters as well as older brethren, don't worry, it's coming. Older women are mentioned in Scripture. If you are going to live a life of sacrifice in order that you might watch over the people of God and that you might tend and feed them, you are going to need, number one, a vision of the sufferings of Christ, because it's going to cost you a little compared to what it cost him. But you need to have a glimpse of the glory that's coming, because you'll only have to be an older one for a few years. But you'll have the glory for all eternity. And when you get a glimpse of the glory of Christ, you'll realize it's well worth it. You'll be glad to suffer for the Lord Jesus. You'll be glad to sacrifice for the people of God when you have a glimpse of the glory that's coming. That's why he mentions it. I've seen the glory, and it's worth it. Peter was, of course, the apostle that history tells us he was crucified upside down. You know, he was looking forward to the glory. Good old Peter. And what does he say to these older ones? Feed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Again, the among you. Taking the oversight. What a dreadful translation. It simply is overseeing. Not taking the oversight. Overseeing, it's a verb. I've got a little V there for you to look at. Episcopio, the verb. Overseeing. Not by constraint. Surely you don't have to be constrained. The brothers don't have to come up to you and say, now look here, brother, you're getting older. We are looking to you for leadership. Oh, dear me. Not by constraint, but willingly. It's your desire. You remember that at the end we might look at if any man, or actually it says if any person, it's not man, if anyone desire the office of a bishop. Sad translation. If anyone desires to oversee, he desires a good work. Willingly. And then he says, not for filthy lucre. What are you getting at, Peter? Not for filthy lucre's sake. If the only thing that drives you is money, shame on you. Not for filthy lucre's sake. We're not here in it for the money. That's what they're doing out in Christendom. The higher you get up the hierarchy, the bigger the house and the mansion you get, and the bigger the salary. And if you're bishop over a little group, and then a bigger bishop, and then... But that's not the word in Scripture. It's an overseer. You see, the 1611 or whatever it was, translators, they were dominated by the language of Rome. So they pushed in bishops here. They knew the word was overseer. But they didn't understand spiritual truth. So they put what they thought was best, overseers. Notice, neither as being lords over God's heritage. You realize we've been praying for the trouble in Angola and Tanzania and Romania, because there are big boys who've set themselves up over the assemblies out there in those countries. And they're putting people out of fellowship. And they're stopping missionaries working. The big boys. They're with us today, and they were there in the early church. We'll see in a moment. The big boys. Not as bringing under one's power. We are not here to keep our brothers and sisters under our power. We are among them. But being ensamples to the flock. Showing by my life. Showing them by my life how they ought to live. That's much harder, isn't it? Are they learning from my life? Can the sheep learn from the way I live? You understand why I'm pushing this older ones? Because if it's a dichotomy, older ones and younger ones, when do you cross the line? You don't, do you? There's no time when you cross the line. It's difficult to put a line in, isn't it? Because there isn't one. As I said, the 5-year-old is older than the 2-year-old. And 5-year-olds will look after 2-year-olds, and mum goes off and leaves them. And that's what's happening. So if there are no 70-year-olds, who are the older ones? If there are no 60-year-olds, who are the older ones? If there are no 50-year-olds, who are the older ones? We looked at Acts chapter 20 when the apostle, he called the older ones of the assembly at Ephesus. Do you realize how long they had been saved? He hadn't preached the gospel very many years or even months before, and they'd embraced the gospel of Christ. They weren't sort of mighty monarchs of the word of God, because they didn't even have the word of God. Are you getting the drift? If there are no 40-year-olds, who are the older ones? You see, the Spirit of God doesn't put a line of demarcation. He did in the Old Testament. You had to be 30 to be a priest. And you could only be a priest until you were 50, unless you were the high priest. But there's no age limit in the New Testament. And I think that's very significant. Because we are not creatures of time. We belong to eternity. We are handling eternal things. You see, in the Old Testament, they were only handling the things that belonged to time, and they were going to come to an end. You and I are handling eternal things. And notice verse 5, please. Likewise, ye younger, submit to the older. There's your dichotomy. If you haven't picked that word up yet, you've got a new word for your vocabulary. Dichotomy. Cotomy means cut. Di means two. To cut in two, see? Dichotomy, cut in two. And so it's younger and older. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. There is no place for someone to say, well, I'm an elder. You must do what I tell you. As I've told the young people very often, when someone asked my father a question, he would say, well, Valerie, because she was usually the one to ask the questions. Well, Valerie, the word of God says. She couldn't argue. She wanted to. But if my father had said, well, I think, Valerie, you shouldn't do it, she would have said, ah, but why? But he gave her the word of God. It wasn't his opinion. You know, it is so easy to pretend that the word of God is opinion. That's what they're doing out in Christendom. Oh, they say that's Paul's opinion. You don't believe that, do you? They no longer believe in the word of God and the definitive, the definite word of God. Well, here you are. Here are the occurrences in your New Testament of the old man. Zacharias, he was an old man. He's number 4246. He's the old man, and it's a noun masculine. Titus 2:2, the aged men. Be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. You must look up the scriptures in your own time, because we're trying to speed through. Philemon, verse 9. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul, the old man. But he didn't say, they haven't put old man there, because it might have another connotation, the old man and the new man. And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So there is a word for old man. There is a noun, old man. Then why have they always used elders as an adjective comparative. Why is it a comparative? Elders, youngers, elders, youngers, elders, youngers. I'm sorry, my sister, you're caught in it. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So we do have old men and old women, nouns. Yet every time you find the word elders in Scripture, it's the comparative adjective. Keep that in your mind. Presbyteros. Where are the actual references in Scripture? There are loads of them. I brought some here in front of you so that you may just glance. We can't go through them all, just glance. Will you notice as you go through the Gospels, I didn't start in Matthew because there were too many to get on the screen, but all the way through the Gospels, do you know who the elders are? The elders are the men who opposed the will of God. The elders are the men who put Christ on the cross. It's not a very good title to have, is it? It's the older ones that put Christ on the cross. Not the youngest, the oldest. He was taken by the scribes and elders. You see, these elders were the 70 elders that come over from the Old Testament into the New. They're still there when the Lord Jesus came to bring everything to an end. You do realize when the Lord Jesus came, he came to bring the Old Testament to an end. Because he came to fulfill the Old Testament. God hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in Son. That's the end. The Lord Jesus has brought in something completely new. But we're going to see in a moment that the Jewish believers wanted to carry on the Sanhedrin idea. For the Sanhedrin were 70 elders over the whole nation. I can't go through those at the moment. Let's slip on, shall we? I want to take you to Acts 15. If you've never read Acts 15, you need to. For there in Acts 15 you will find out that the Jewish believers, they believe that this gospel belongs to Jews. And they're not going to allow the Gentiles to get this message. You see, they believe the Lord Jesus was continuing what had gone on. And if you look through the book of the Acts, you will find that these elders in Jerusalem, they are but a reflection of the Sanhedrin that has been down the ages ruling over the nation of Israel. And you'll find them in the book of the Acts, this semi-Sanhedrin, I don't know if there were 70 of them, there with the apostles and elders. Now that's an interesting expression, apostles and elders. And yet when you get to Philippians chapter 4 and you're looking into the foundation gifts to the church, there's one word that's missing, and that's elders. You've got apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, but you've not got elders. I love that. You see, God had finished with the Sanhedrin. There's no longer a body of elders who are going to rule over the churches of God. There were 70 elders of Sanhedrin who were appointed to lead the nation of God in the Old Testament. But no, God's not going to have that. You'll notice, won't you? We've got right in the middle there, Acts 20. He called the elders of the church. Now you just look at that little expression, the elders, the older ones of the church, just look at the expression and see it in contrast to what you've read before in the book of the Acts. Go through it in your time and you will see that in Jerusalem we have the apostles and the elders, and they are pontificating. They are directing all the behavior, all the churches everywhere, and they're sending out the edicts as to their behavior. And before they send out the edict, Peter and Paul have to put them right about the ideas they had about the Gentile believers. The believing elders in Jerusalem, can I put it plainly, they were a pain in the neck. They wanted control. And wherever the apostles went, they had to come back to Jerusalem. And they had to tell them. And they didn't agree with them. They didn't agree with Peter going to Cornelius. Now you come to Acts chapter 21. And there's something even worse. Oh, I should be... Should Christians be circumcised? That's Acts chapter 15. Should Christians be circumcised? Should Christian Gentiles be circumcised? That was the subject. They were so embedded with the Old Testament, they didn't realize that the Lord Jesus, his precious blood, guarantees a new covenant with the people of God. You see, they were blinded by their religious background. We can be, you know. That's why it's essential we look into the scriptures. But then you go to Acts chapter 21. And there are the details, but we can't go through it. And what are you going to find? You're going to find that the apostles and elders in Jerusalem are asking Paul to pretend that he is still under law, and he's a law abider, and they've asked him to prove it by making a vow, and then after 7 days of keeping this vow, he is supposed to go into the temple and offer a sacrifice. How could the Apostle Paul ever write Galatians if he'd gone through with that? And so what they're asking now, Paul, we want you to demonstrate that you believe in law and grace together. We want the law. Thank God he intervened. You do realize what happened. The Apostle Paul, he went along with it. Paul? Yes, he did. And he was going into the temple to offer his sacrifice. And God intervened. And God sent a mob, and he was dragged away. And he never offered that sacrifice. He should never have compromised with the elders at Jerusalem. They were still living under law. You see, that's the group elder. But in Acts chapter 20, we saw that the apostle, he's reminding the local saints at Ephesus, those elders are responsible. Can you see now the significance of Acts chapter 20? You see, what the apostle was teaching the saints at Ephesus, you're not under the rule of Jerusalem. You are the elders in your assembly. You act in your assembly. And the Spirit of God has appointed you overseer. You see, unless you look right through and see the panorama, you miss what is going on. And so the Apostle Paul is prevented from compromising law and grace. That great thesis of Romans and Galatians, he's able to write. He understands. You do understand that God had to scatter the saints at Jerusalem. He scattered them.
And then he obliterated Jerusalem altogether off the face of the earth. And Titus came in and made the streets of Jerusalem a bloodbath. And anybody that was left was slain. And the city was destroyed. And God said, the end of Jerusalem. The end of Jerusalem. You do realize that there is a Jerusalem that is from above. That's what the believers belong to. But they thought they belonged to the earthly Jerusalem. Why didn't they understand? Because it was only the Apostle Paul that received the revelation from the Lord Jesus that there was a new work. The church which is the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, for 3 years, the Lord Jesus gave him the revelation of this new work that he was doing. And the other elders, of the believing elders of Jerusalem, were setting up the hierarchy that should never have been. You've only got to look, as soon as you move out of the Acts into the Epistles, it's a completely different story. It's amazing. Read through the Acts, and then read into the Epistles with respect to this word elders, and you will see it's a completely different story. Rebuke not an elder. Rebuke not an older one. Rebuke not sharply an older one. Entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren. You notice the two groups again? Elder, younger. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters. Elder, younger. You got the picture? When do you become an elder? Depends, doesn't it? How soon will you mature in spiritual things? How soon will you be able to move in care for the people of God? What experience do you have in the things of God? Are you just going out for experience? Are you longing to get experience with God? Or are you busy in the things of this life? Notice 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders, the older ones that rule. What an unfortunate translation. That word, I've given it to you, it's prohistemi. And pro means before. Histemi is to stand. The elders that stand before you, well, let them be counted worthy of double honour. Why? Any older person deserves your respect. Any older person. It's appalling, isn't it? The lack of respect for older people in Bracknell. I trust you're not part of it. You see, they've been through life. Paul told the children this morning about the little boy who thought at 15, he thought his father was an idiot. And then by 21 he realized his father had got a lot wiser. Remember this. The older ones have been where you've been. And they want to save you from the awful mess that they made of their lives. Well, you can't save completely, but you can help. Have respect for those who are older. But the apostle says double honor. He says, those who are prepared to sacrifice their lives to study the word of God so that you might be fed, they're worthy of double respect. Do you respect them? Those who have sacrificed the things of this life just that you might be fed. We must move on. Overseers. In the Old Testament, as I've indicated to you, the first overseer was Eliezer. And will you notice where he was an overseer? And Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight, or shall oversee them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. Will you please notice that when God designed the tabernacle, he gave the orders as to what could happen there and go on there. He gave orders as to what should not go on there. And Eleazar was responsible to see that the people of God did what God said. He had an awful responsibility. Don't forget that Nadab and Abihu, the very first day they functioned in the tabernacle, they were consumed by fire because they took fire into the presence of God that they shouldn't have brought. Be careful what you bring into God's assembly. If it's strange fire, you could come under the judgment of God, you know. I know we're under grace, but God will keep. God is a jealous God. Him that defiles the temple of God, God will defile him. And then you notice that the second time, and under the overseership and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, the sockets, the vessels, and all that serve it thereto. That's the second reference to overseers, to overseeing rather, in the Old Testament. All to do with what's happening in the tabernacle. And you do know that the local assembly today is the tabernacle of God, the temple of God, the Holy of Holies. And then the third reference, and to the office, the overseership of Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest pertaineth, the oil for the light, the sweet incense. You notice the oil for the light, how we need to bring oil, the right oil, into God's assembly, how we need to bring the right sweet incense into the presence of God, how we need to offer the meal offering, the perfection of the life, the lovely life of Christ, the anointing oil, and the overseeing of all the tabernacle and of all that there is in the sanctuary and in the vessels thereof. Interesting, the first three references to overseeing is to do with watching that everything that happens in the tabernacle is done according as the Lord commanded Moses. Very quickly. We've looked at these scriptures, but Acts 20, Philippians, Paul and Timothy, the actual reference to the overseers. Take heed therefore to yourselves, yes. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons and the servants. Timothy, an overseer must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Tremendous standards. Oh, I know what you want to say. Oh, the standard's too high for me. Sorry, brother. I'll leave it to you. Well, the standard's too high for me too, so who's going to do it? It is so easy to opt out of our responsibility. But you remember Acts 20, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. God has given you ability in the things of God. He's given you understanding. You know what's right and what's wrong, and therefore you should be overseeing. The one who doesn't know the difference between their left and their right, they can't oversee. But the one who does know, you see, with the knowledge of the Word of God comes responsibility. And then in 1 Peter, just quickly, for ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Have you thought? The Lord Jesus is the one who cares and feeds and looks after you. He's the global shepherd. He's the global overseer. Revelation chapter 1, we find that the Lord Jesus is the one, and he alone walks amidst the lampstands. He's the overseer. Looking diligently.
That's overseeing. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. These are little scriptures that help you to realize what you should be doing as an overseer.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
You know, we need to look, we need to watch amongst us that there's no root of bitterness coming amongst us.
It is so easy, you know. We have a responsibility to see that there's no root of bitterness.
And then, of course, to feed, as we've seen earlier. And here are the references where it's translated visitation. And I've already referred to that, so I can speed on, because I know the clock has gone, beaten me to it, and we'll move on to shepherd very quickly. You'll understand that there are plenty of references to shepherds in the scriptures. And you will notice that from your notes that there are 18 references to the shepherd in the New Testament. But what is the work of a shepherd? Well, the work of an Eastern shepherd was to feed the flock. He was there to watch for poisons and parasites. He'd go through the pasture and he'd see weeds that were poisonous to the sheep. And he'd pull them out before he took the sheep in. He'd see parasites behind the ears and on the nose of the sheep, those that love moisture and warmth. He'd know where the parasites are. Thou anointest my head with oil, that oil that would deal with the parasites. My cup runneth over. The sheep cannot lie down when it's infested with parasites. He's there to defend the sheep from attackers. You don't leave your brother and your sister to be attacked, you know, and say, serve him right, he deserves it. That's not a shepherd. That's not a shepherd. To heal the wounded and sick. To seek and save the lost or the trapped. How many fellow believers in this assembly have been trapped in the past? Oh, how difficult it is to get them out of the trap. And of course, to love them. Can I point out that during the World War II, a shepherd was a pilot who guided another pilot whose plane was partially disabled back to the base or carrier by flying alongside him to maintain visual contact. A young pilot was flying in a small aircraft and he was coming into land and he found that the airstrip was completely covered with fog. He only had a simple aircraft. He was flying round and round just waiting for the fog to lift, but it didn't. He was running out of fuel. They sent up an aircraft. One of the most highly sophisticated aircrafts that was on the site. It was the latest in technology. An aircraft that could see through the fog. And the pilot came alongside the little plane. He slowed down as much as he dared just to keep alongside the little plane. And he took him through the fog. And he brought him to land. You know, that's a shepherd. To be alongside. It may slow you down a bit, you know. Instead of being highly sophisticated, you may just have to be very, very small and humble. Just to fit in alongside. And bring them in. Safely to land. We're running out of time and there are so many scriptures, you've got the sheet, so I'm quite happy to leave you with them. But you know, John chapter 21 is a lovely section of the Lord. The Lord Jesus speaks to Peter there. Do you notice he's asking Peter, number one, he says, Bosco, my lambs, feed them. The first thing a lamb needs is feeding, you know. You don't take it to the pasture. You feed it. It's got to get the milk.
And then he says to Peter the second time, shepherd my sheep. They need the full work. But the third time he says to Peter, bosko, just feed my sheep. I think that's why Peter turned out to be the man he did. The Lord restored him. You see, he knew he'd failed. He could strengthen his brethren because he'd been where they were. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I trust I have been able to challenge every one of us tonight. And you may not be an older one, but there's a work to do. And there is caring to be done. And remember this, the more practice you have now, the better you'll be later on, when the full responsibility falls on your shoulders. Remember, if there's no 70-year-old, the 60-year-olds are the elders. And if there's no 60, the 50s. There is no age starting point. May God exercise our hearts to take up the challenge of his word, for his name's sake. Father, we just thank thee again for thy word. We thank thee, Father, that the Lord Jesus is the answer to everything that we have been through. We think of the Lord Jesus, our God and Father, cut off in the midst of his days. He never really reached being an old man. He never could, for he never decayed. But we thank thee, Father, the Lord Jesus was the shepherd of his sheep. When the shepherd was smitten, the sheep were scattered. But Father, we thank thee that the smitten shepherd rose again the third day and went out after his sheep and brought them all back. And not one was lost except the son of perdition. We bless thee for the Lord Jesus in his precious name. Amen.